This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
All right. We're good? You got to tell me that. All right. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما يا كريم. Inshallah, we're going to start back in our tafsir of Surah Al-Kahf, verse number 49. We'll start from here and then we'll carry on, inshallah, the conversation. As usual, we'll start with a couple of verses before so that we can get the flow, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم نسير الجبال وترى الأرض بارزة وحشرناهم فلم نغادر منهم أحدا وعرضوا على ربك صفا لقد جئتمونا كما خلقناكم أول مرة بل زعمتم أن لن نجعل لكم موعدا ووضع الكتاب فترى المجرمين مشفقين مما فيه ويقولون يا ويلتنا ما لهذا الكتاب لا يغادر صغيرة ولا كبيرة صغيرة ولا كبيرة إلا أحصاها ووجدوا ما عملوا حاضرا ولا يظلم ربك أحدا وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس كان من الجن ففسق عن أمر ربه أفتتخذونه وذريته أولياء من دوني وهم لكم عدو بئس للظالمين بدلا. So in the passage that we are reciting today, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obviously talked about the life of hayat al-dunya. We talked about that, you know, mathalul hayat al-dunya. Then Allah talked about al-mal wal-banun zinatul hayat al-dunya, that money and children are nothing but trinkets and adornment of this life. And then Allah reminds us that if that is not enough for you as a reminder about akhirah, the dunya, and all of that, then remember that there is going to be a day where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَوْمَ نُسَيِّرُ الْجِبَالِ, on that day we are going to blow the mountains, i.e. the mountains are going to be like cotton balls floating in the sky. وَتَرَى الْأَرْضَ بَارِزَةً, and you're going to see the actual face of this earth. فَلَمْ نُغَادِ وَحَشَرْنَاهُمْ, and Allah is going to bring back everyone. فَلَمْ نُغَادِرْ مِنْهُمْ أَحَدًا, Allah is not going to leave anyone behind from humankind. Then Allah says after that, وَعُرِضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ, and they're going to be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's where we have to begin from today. وَعُرِضُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ, i.e. there is going to be a presentation in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We alluded to that towards the end of the last sabak. And over here, عَرْضُ الشَّيْءِ means to be exposed and to present something. Okay, if something was covered, you know, and then you uncover it. Similarly, ma'rad or ma'rid is an exhibition center. i.e. things were not known, and you come and you exhibit them and they become visible to people. Okay, so وَعُرِضُوا, they will be presented. Ibn Munzir, he mentions in his Kitab al-Tawheed that Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhi narrates from Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُنَادِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to call, i.e. there's going to be an announcement. يُنَادِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. يَا عِبَادِي, O my servants, me, you, everybody is going to be مُخَاطَب. Everyone is being spoken to. أَنَا اللَّهِ. Allah is going to introduce himself. I am Allah. أنا الله لا إله إلا أنا. There is no إله other than me. Ajib. Imagine all those people who had taken various forms of إله. Imagine all the people who had taken dunya to إله. Just today, as we were coming out, you know, we were discussing, and right in front of our house, there is, I've told this before, there's a church. And they have a Bible study. And there's so much traffic in that church for their Bible study that it's hard for us to get out. Okay. Now, obviously, they're putting an effort in whatever they believe. The question is, are we as Muslims putting in that effort? In what we know to be true. What we know to be an absolute truth. Are we putting in the effort to spread this truth? Right. All of these questions we must ponder upon. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Ya ibadi, O my servant. Ana Allah, I am Allah. La ilaha illa ana. There is no ilah other than me. Arhamur rahimin. The second introduction Allah is going to give to us on the day of judgment, when before the hisab begins, I am the most merciful amongst the merciful. وَأَحْكَمُ الْحَاكِمِينَ. I am the most just in judgment from all the other judges. وَأَسْرَعُ الْحَاسِبِينَ. My litigation is not going to take 2 years, 5 years, 10 years before the verdict comes out. أَسْرَعُ الْحَاسِبِينَ. It's going to be a very quick verdict. The fastest in judgment and in hisab. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say, أَحْضِرُوا حِجَجَكُمْ. Prepare your cases. Hijaj means, what arguments are you going to give? Prepare all your arguments for your accountability. وَيَسِّرُوا جَوَابَكُمْ. And summarize, you know, summary judgments. You have this. Allah is going to say, summarize all your arguments and have your summary ready. يَسِّرُوا جَوَابَكُمْ فَإِنَّكُمْ مَسْؤُولُونَ وَمُحَاسَبُونَ. Because you are about to be questioned and there is going to be hisab. May Allah protect us on that day. It's coming. Be patient. يَا مَلَائِكَتِي. O my angels, أقيموا عبادي صفوفا. Make my servants stand in صفوف, rows. And remember, we said when it says rows, it could have two meanings. One is one single row, but they're staggered, so that everyone has a face time with Allah, or rows in a sequence of having your group of musallin, the group of muznibin, the people who did sins, the people who backbite. So you're in those groups. And there's going to be a group with all the sins combined. So different groups, and they have rows. أَقِيمُوا عِبَادِي صُفُوفًا. Make my servants stand in rows. عَلَىٰ أَطْرَافِ الْأَنَامِلِ. Make them stand on their tippy toes. عَلَىٰ أَطْرَافِ الْأَنَامِلِ أَقْدَامِهِمْ. Make them stand on their tippy toes of their foot. لِلْحِسَابِ. For the hisab. Ibn al-Qayyim, he points to this and he says, this is the point where Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that there are going to be people that are going to be waiting in mahshar. Some of them are going to be drenched up to their ankles in their sweat. Others are going to be drenched in their knees. Others are going to be drenched up to their belly buttons. Others are going to be drenched all the way. Others are going to be drowning in their sweat. And the sun is going to be 1 mile away. And that moment, Ibn al-Qayyim says, Prophet ﷺ said, we would be standing there for 50,000 years, waiting for hisab, until people would get tired. And they will go to Adam alayhi salam, and they will go to Nuh alayhi salam, they will go to Musa alayhi salam, they will go to Isa alayhi salam, until they come to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is going to say what? Ana laha, ana laha. That's my work. That's my job. I am the most befitting for this. And then he is going to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with mahamid, with praises. No other human being has ever praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with those praises. And Allah is going to say, O Muhammad, irfa ra'sak, raise your head. Sal tu'ta, ask and you shall be given. That moment is where Prophet ﷺ is going to make dua that, O Allah, please start the hisab. So all of the grandeur that sometimes people walk with, all of the positions and the titles that people want to run after, all of these things will mean of no value on that day. And then subhanAllah, Prophet ﷺ, he loves us so much that on that day, you know, one of the sahabis, he asked him, he said, O Prophet of Allah, where am I going to find you? And he said that you will find me عند الحوض. You're going to find me in the الحوض. And remember last time we said the hadith that he is going to select all the people who the Prophet ﷺ would be able to see the athar of wudu on them. He said, remember, if there's a horse and all the black horses and there's one horse that has a white forehead, is it not visible amongst all the black horses? That's how I'm going to be able to take my people. And you will find Rasulullah in the الحوض. Then you will find Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at which place? Mizan. When my amal is going to be presented, right? And it's going to come. I think in the next ayah, wa wudi'a al-kitab. When that kitab is going to be placed, right? That moment, Rasulullah is going to be at the mizan making dua for every single person of this ummah. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would be found after the hisab. Everybody, the procession is going to begin. And we would be headed towards imma jahannam aw al-jannah. We will either head toward Jannah or Jahannam. That scene, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is going to be, as the hadith mentions, he is going to be standing right next to the sirat. And every person of his ummah that is going to cross, he's going to say, Rabbi sallim sallim. Oh Allah, make it easy for him. Oh Allah, make it easy for him. Right? And this is our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعُرِدُوا عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ صَفًّا, that they will be presented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a row. لَقَدْ جِئْتُمُهُنَا كَمَا خَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَوَّلَ مَرَّةٍ, you have come back to me the way I had created you in the first place. Where were you going to run in the first place? But the problem was, we claimed and we believed that there will be no return back to Allah. Then Allah says, وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ, and on that day the kitab is going to be given. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes numerous times about how the kitab is going to be given to a person. And the beginning of how the book is given to you determines how and what is going to happen to you on that day. وَأَمَّا مَنْ أُوْتِيَ كِتَابَهُ بِيَمِينِهِ And as for the one who has been given the book in his right hand, فَسَوْفَ يُحَاسَبُ حِسَابًا يَسِيرًا اللَّهُمَّ اجْعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ. That as for those who will be given the book in their right hands, Allah is like, for verily they will have very quickly a hisab, an accountability, yasiran, very easy. Allahumma ja'alna minhum, may Allah make us from those. Right? Wa amma man utiya kitabahu? Huh? Wa ra'a dhahrihi, from behind his back. If you read the tafsir of this ayah, it says, This scene that, you know, has been described. It says that the person يَجْعَلُ يَدَهُ الْيُمْنَى, the right hand, will be clasped onto the person's neck, so that he will be prevented from taking his book from the right hand. And then the book, this person, وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِي, is an indication. First, it's with, you know, in another ayah it says, you'll be given in your left hand. Okay, بِشِمَال. The other is behind your back. So you are so ashamed at that moment that you will not even have the guts to face that kitab, because you know what's in it. So you're going to turn your back and you're going to try to grab the book from the back so you don't even look at that book. In another narration, it says, وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ, the explanation of this, the person is going to be so afraid of that kitab that when he turns, Allah is, his hand would penetrate through his chest and come out from the back. That's literal, وَرَاءَ ظَهْرِهِ, from behind his back. And his hand will be kept like that, as an indication and as an alama of a sign of what you did in this dunya. Your physical structure will be changed for that. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ, and the kitab is going to be presented. This kitab, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that it has scrolls. How many scrolls does it have? Three. Okay, three. In another narration, 70. So each scroll, how long is it? In hadith, it mentions that that person, he will be given his scroll. And that scroll is going to be opened up for him. And when the scroll is opened up for him, إِلَى مَدِّ الْبَصَرِ, as far as his eyesight can see, the scroll will keep on opening. An average person is capable of seeing 5.3 miles with the naked eye in a flat surface. So one scroll is 5.3 miles. Okay, and you have 70 of such scrolls. I mean, even one of such scroll, like, we're done. Forget 70. May Allah protect us on that day. وَوُضِعَ الْكِتَابِ, and the kitab is going to be placed. فَتَرَى الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُشْفِقِينَ مِمَّا فِي. The mujrim, the one who had disobeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala openly, the wicked one, the one who knew that he was doing wrong things. Mushfiqin, he will be in a state of shafaq. Shafaq is the color that we see when the sun is when the sun is setting, and at the sunset, at the ghurub of shams, that orange, reddish color that sometimes we see at the sunset, and it's not where you see. It's so orange sometimes that everything around turns orange. That color is called shafaq. And sometimes it's called shafaq al-ahmar, right? It's basically where the darkness of the night and the light of the day, they both are intertwined, and it is suppressing the daylight into that orangish color. That is going to be the state of the face of those individuals. Mushfiqina, i.e. this the fear is going to be so much that it would enrage, like that fear is going to be visible on their face as an orange color. Mushfiqina. Mimma fi. Their fear is going to be that I know what is in it. They're the mujrims. Right? And that is why sometimes people forget that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in this dunya, nobody can get away from an injustice. You can temporarily win, but at the end of the day, you know it. That person knows it. Allah knows it. Even if the people around don't know, that you will be held accountable. In Surah Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Don't think, تَحْسَبَنَّ, don't ever think Allah is غافل, heedless of that which the transgressors do. Even if there was no CNN, even if there was no Fox News, even if there was no media, even if there was no phone, nothing to capture any ظلم in any part of the world, if it was done, captured or uncaptured, Allah captured. Allah's angels captured it. For their fear is going to be mimma fihi. Their fear is going to be whatever is in that kitab, it's unbearable. وَيَقُولُونَ يَا وَيْلَتَنَا مَا لِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ. They're going to say, what is wrong when they're going to read? This is a statement that they're going to say when they're actually going to open that kitab. يَقُولُونَ, they're going to say, يَا وَيْلَتَنَا, we are destroyed today. Destruction on us. مَالِ هَذَا الْكِتَابِ, what has happened to this book? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. It has not left anything, small or big, except that it has أَحْصَاهَا, it has accounted for it. I.e. nothing, small or big, went unlisted. And the word أَحْصَاهَا comes from the root word of أَحْصَائِيَات. Ahsa, yuhsa, which is the word ahsa'iyat is what? In Arabic? Statistics. So the ulama, they say that this ahsaha actually means that there is a statistical analysis of every single thing that we have done. This many times we lied. This many times we looked at something that we were not supposed to look at. This many times we cheated. This many times we didn't log in to our jobs on the same time, on the right time. This many times we left our workplaces before time. This many times we took so long in our lunches that, you know, it went over time. All of those things. We all do that. Every single, we think it's not being accounted. But everything is being accounted. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا. What you're going to find in that kitab is nothing but what you and I did with our own hands. Allah is like, you will find in it that which you did. Nothing else other than the fact that whatever you did, jokia, whatever you did with your own hands, that's what you're going to find. وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا. And remember, Allah will not wrong anyone on that day. At all. The ulama, they say that if you want to know what this kitab should be filled with, فَلْيَكُونُوا الْأَرْبَعَ, four things that your kitab, you should strive for to fill it and to make sure that you have these four things in your life daily. These are called الْمُنْجِيَات. These are called things that will protect you. We have shortfalls and shortcomings in my wajibat, in my obligations. But these are called munjiyat. Okay? Number one, ibad anil haram. So there is an opportunity, possibility, or something that you could have engaged in something haram. You should have at least daily, once, because the society we live in, where you consciously turned away from something that was haram. It could be on cell phone, could be on a driveway that you're walking, sorry, on a highway, and you saw a billboard that you're not supposed to look at. You looked at it, you turned away, and you turned away intentionally saying, I'm not supposed to look at it. intentionally you turned away once in a day from haram, intentionally. Number two, no day should go by except your five daily prayers are accounted for. Doesn't matter which state, but you got to make sure that those five prayers are in. If you cannot make them in time, make sure that you don't go to sleep until you get them in time. Number three is one form of voluntary ibadah. Nawafil. Nafil doesn't mean necessarily prayers. Nawafil is anything yatanaffal bihi al-insan. Anything that is beyond what you're required. Okay? It's filled with at least one. And last one, you have some form of litany, zikr. Some form. Any form. We're not looking for the ideal. This is the bare minimum munjia. Could be 100 times doing astaghfirullah. Could be any of that, right? For example, astaghfirullah, salawat on Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. All of these, we have a hadith where Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, istighfar, right? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man lazim al-istighfar, i.e. who made istighfar, like who clinged on to istighfar, i.e. istighfar never left him, which means there is no account of how many times. It's like, you got a moment, you do istighfar. Got a moment, you do istighfar. One, whatever it is, you do that, that would take care of your hujjah on the day of. You remember, ahdiru hujjatukum, prepare your, at least you have daily something where Allah's like, look, okay. That one day I turned away, and I know I did a lot of bad things, but at least I turned away once from haram. At least I made sure all my five fara'id and the siyam, all the fara'id, all the obligations were done. In terms of ibadat, and I filled my life with at least one nafil every day. I did something voluntarily for you. And majlis of dhikr. And all of these can be automated. Not fara'id. Okay? Fara'id can be automated. You have to do it yourself. But other than that, majlis of dhikr, you can have an alarm and you can automate it. You get in the car, you can automate that. You can have nawafil automated. You can have a dollar sadaqah every day coming out of your bank account, right? Whatever. Something can be automated, right? Same way away from haram, obviously, is going to require some physical. وَوَجَدُوا مَا عَمِلُوا حَاضِرًا وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا. And when we said to the angels, usjudu, do sijda. So now we begin the story of Iblis. But it's only one ayah. In the entire sequence of, you know, of how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here. In the entire sequence, if you think about it, if you remove this ayah and read the next ayah, So the scene ends, وَلَا يَظْلِمُ رَبُّكَ أَحَدًا مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Now Allah is talking to the zalimeen that, oh, you did the greatest zulm, you did shirk. The conversation is about shirk. Why bring the story of Iblis in just one ayah? Why bring this? Here, what's the connection? He's what? Okay. To remind us, but what's the connection? Sure. Why? What is the connection with the surah? Yes, Maryam. Sorry. To use him as an example, okay? Not yes. Okay. What is the connection with the sequence? المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا آخرة مجرم. They're afraid. What is the connection in the sequence? Very good. What is it? on that day, two things. On that day, every mujrim, his biggest enemy is going to be, who is going to be standing and who is going to be afraid of the kitab, and the kitab is going to be given in the left hand. Who's the first one they're going to blame? Shaitan. Number two, the four fitnas in this surah. Remember the first lecture that we did. Four fitnas. What are they? Let's do a review. Fitna of deen. Story-wise. Fitna of deen. What's number two? Fitna of mal, dunya, al-malu wal-banun, wa-zinatul hayati, all of that. Next. Fitna of ilm. Musa alayhi salam and Khidr. We're going to go into that story. What's next? Huh? Fitna of power. All of these, who can corrupt them the most? Shaitan. A person can have absolute ilm and knowledge, but Shaitan can come to you and say, man, you have made it. You're so pious. Look at all the people that listen to you. I remember once my sheikh was sitting and somebody came to interview him, some news channel or something. And we were sitting and we were told to just sit. So somebody asked the sheikh, this muzi, this guy from Kuwait, he was asking Sheikh Abdulillah. He said, أَقَرِيبٌ مِّن جَنَّتِي أَوْ النَّارِ. Are you close to Jannah or Nar? So the sheikh said, أَكِيد قَرِيب مِّنَ النَّارِ. I'm definitely closer to hellfire. So this person was a bit shocked. He said, sheikh, it's like, look, you've got like that many people, hundreds of people waiting to listen to your interview, they're here to listen to. And look at the books that you have written. And your books are Mashariq al-Ardi wa Magharibiha. And your books have been translated in 60 languages. This and this and this. Don't you think that's going to make you worthy of Jannah? He said, all of that, that's not me. That's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the one that made that happen. Has nothing to do with me. It's Allah's work. It's Allah's deen. I just became a part of the plan. But that does not absolve me of getting into Jannah. Or my personal ibadah is my personal ibadah. And that is why, and it is very important for us to understand, we don't ever connect ourselves to scholars because of their divine status. Or because they are somehow holier than I. Right? You come to a teacher, you come to a scholar to listen because they have sat down with teachers and they may have better understanding. That does not automatically necessitate that they are more holier. We don't have that concept. That may exist in Catholics, that may exist in Christianity, but not in us. And that is why we say that, you know what, a sheikh or a teacher is a person. Each one of us, we have our own journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are just a coach on the side that give you the tools that you need. Okay, many times you look at Michael Phelps and his coach has a giant belly. He can't swim faster than Michael Phelps, but he has the tools that can enable Michael Phelps, right, to become the best swimmer. Right? Many of the coaches are retired. They can't play, like, you know, Jason Kidd can't play anymore. He was a good player, but he can't play anymore. But what is he there for? The experience that he has gained. That does that mean he is better than Tatum or any of these other players? No. They're way better. So spirituality for us, it's very likely that the imam could be leading the salah and there are people behind the imam that are higher in spiritual status than him. The only reason imam is there is because he has more knowledge of the fiqh of the salah. And hopefully Quran. Okay? So, وَقُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ. So this is a context for us to understand that the biggest person to blame on that day is going to be shaitan. Okay? وَإِذْ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ. And when we said to the malaika, the angels that do sijda to Adam alayhi salam. This story has been mentioned seven times in the Quran, seven different places in the Quran. And in every place, there is new information that is given to us about Adam alayhi salam and the Adam alayhi salam and Iblis. That interaction, we have 7 different places the story has been mentioned, and in every 7 time, we have new details that emerge in that. This time around, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when we said to the angels, do sijda to Adam, fasajadu, everybody did sijda. All of them, they obeyed and prostrated. Illa, except Iblis. Iblis refused. Kana minal jinn. Now, this is an introduction of his mahiyya. What was he made out of? He was made out of fire, and he was from the jinn kind. He's from the jinn kind. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. So he did fisq, i.e. fasq. Remember I said fasq is what? Right? We talk about it, about the flower. That when the flower buds out, that's called فَسَقَ الزَّهْرَ. That when the flower comes out and pushes the petals out, that act is called the flower has bloomed. That blooming of the flower, that is called فَسَقَ الزَّهْرَ. So fasiq is a person who knew the boundaries. He said, who cares? I'm going to cross them anyways. Okay. Especially who knew the boundaries at the time of the at the time of the sin. He was aware that the act that I'm involved in is haram. But who cares? I'm still going to do it. Okay. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah explicitly said, Illa Iblis. That's what's the ayah part after that? Kana min al-jinn. So he clarified to you this question. He was amongst. But Iblis is the one who said, I'm not going to do it. And Allah is like, yeah, just remember, he's not an angel. Kana min al-jinn. He was from the jinn kind. فَفَسَقَ عَنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّهِ. So he transgressed, rebelled against the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Do you take him and his children as awliya, as your guardians, as dependents or patrons? Do you take him as that? Now, min duni, other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you leave Allah as a guardian, as a protector, and you take shaitan and his children as guardians and protectors? Now, shaitan has children. That's an interesting. Shaitan has children. Now, this is really interesting because when teenagers read these things, things happen. So there was a TikTok video that I saw where one of these kids was like, he came across this ayah, and he's like, okay guys, this is really interesting. So if shaitan had children, who's shaitan's wife? And then the comments were berserk. I think like 3,000 comments on that video. Somebody's like Iblisa, somebody's like Iblisia. And it was just crazy, right? And completely missed the point, right? Shaitan had children. You don't need to know if they came out of eggs or they were chicks and they turned into shaitan. Allahu alam. We don't need to know that. We believe that, and some people say, yeah, that's not possible because Allah never told us in the Quran that shaitan got married. There was one of the comments that said that. It's like he can't have children. He has children. What is the nature of that children? Allahu a'lam. Allah knows how the children are, how they come into existence. But we know that he has offsprings. Yeah, but we don't know what the relationship is, right? How they reproduce. We don't know. We have no idea how that reproduction happens, right? What is the process? And that's why we can't make those assumptions. Unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. Or Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us. Okay. أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَزُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. Allah is asking this question. Do you take him as your friend and a guardian other than me, and he is your enemy? It's just like the example I remember, you know, in Utrujja, the Sheikh gave this example and it got stuck with me. He said, imagine your dad had a business. Okay. So there is Walmart that came and opened Walmart right next to your dad's business. Over here, over my Sheikh gave an example of like Hyper Banda. Okay. Hyper Panda, which was like, so he's like, yani, I still remember the Sheikh was like, أبوك عندك بقالة. Your father has a baqala. ويجي هايبر باندا ويخرب البزنس علي. He comes and destroys your father's business. Then you go and have chai and coffee with the general manager of Hyper Panda. How do you think your father is going to feel? He's going to feel like, it's wrong. This entity came, destroyed my business. We had a living, and now, you know, this is how you treat me. Similarly, Allah is saying, أَفَتَتَّخِذُونَهُ وَذُرِّيَّتَهُ أَوْلِيَاءَ مِن دُونِي وَهُمْ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ. You take him as your friend. You go and cozy up to shaitan. And he is your enemy. Look at what he has done to Adam alayhi salam. Look at what he did to Adam and Hawa. All of that. And you take him as your enemy. Right? بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. Right? What an evil alternative people have chosen. بِئْسَ لِلظَّالِمِينَ بَدَلًا. This entire thing, how wretched is this transaction that you choose him and leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we go back to the discussion of Akhirah. So this is an interjection. This ayah came, and no more elaboration on this. Then we go back. مَا أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah is like, I had not taken them, all of the people you worshipped, as well as shaitan. And so أَشْهَدْتُهُمْ over here, two meanings. One is shaitan and his dhurriya. That's the closest. That we had not taken shaitan and his children as shuhada, witnesses to creation. We did not say, okay, come see, I'm about to create this dunya. They were not present at that time. That's one meaning. Second, ma ashhadtuhum, i.e. all of the people that, all of the ilah, idols, money, anything that people had taken other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as awliya, Allah is like, none of them bore witness to the fact that when Allah was creating, مَا أَشْهَدْتُمْ خَلْقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا خَلْقَ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Actually, they don't even know when they were created. I.e. you were not even, none of us remembers when we were created. None of us remembers. Neither were they, all the people that you worshipped. وَمَا كُنْتُمْ مُتَّخِذِ الْمُضِلِّينَ عَدُودًا. And the reality is, I could never take, Allah is like, even if there was a possibility, why would I take a misleader, somebody who is mudil, somebody who is misguided, i.e. shaitan and his family specifically, or anybody that misleads people, why would I take them as adudah, helpers? وَيَوْمَ يَقُولُ نَادُوا شُرَكَائِيَ الَّذِينَ زَعَمْتُمْ. Allah is reminding us again on the Day of Judgment. Remember on that day, while you're in this dunya, you can remember this. Nadu, go ahead and call shuraka'i, all the people that you used to claim, and all the associates that you associated with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shuraka, everybody. Adina za'amtum. You thought they had some power. You believed that they had some power. Right? If you ask anybody who does idol worship, anyone, right? I think last week or the week before, I went to some a halal Chinese place. So they serve halal options. As soon as I entered, obviously, they also have other things, but they have halal options. And they have this Buddha thing, and you know, it's got this hand, you can like do this or something. I don't know, it does weird. So I'm like, do you really, I just want to know. I don't know much about your religion, but like, do you really believe that this house somehow is going to protect? Like, does Buddha know that I'm paying $26? And she's like, come on, are you joking? That's only for decoration. So I said, but then you worship the same decoration? She's like, I haven't had my coffee. It's too early for this conversation. And this is what shaitan does. Any deeper conversations in which I have to question my beliefs, we want to put it underneath the rug. Let me be in peace. I'm happy with the way things are. I believe in what I believe in. And I'm way happy with this. Please don't bother me right now. Okay, that's what shaitan does. So Allah is saying, on that day, Allah is like, everything that prevented you, all the comforts that prevented you, and now you associated some divinity to them to keep yourself docile, all of these things, shuraka, za'amtum, you believed, fada'awhum, go ahead and call them. And they are going to call them. Allah is like, go ahead and call them. They are going to call. فَلَمْ يَسْتَجِيبُوا لَهُمْ. Nothing is going to respond. Everything that you thought could be your protector on the Day of Judgment will not respond. At all. Okay. I'm not going to tell the story. I was going to say something, but I think it's better. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ مَوْبِقًا. Allah is like, Allah says that Allah had بَيْنَهُمْ وَجَعَلْنَا بَيْنَهُمْ for you and for you and for all of you مَوْبِقًا doom. Okay. وَبَقُ شَيْءٍ i.e. to destroy something. So for you, i.e. yourself and whoever you believed could help you, all of you, between you, the doom is going to be equally distributed. وَرَأَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ النَّارَ فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ مُوَاقِعُوهَا. And on that day, now we go back to the mujrim. The mujrim are going to say what? The sinners? مَا لِي هَذَا الْكِتَابِ. What is wrong with this book? لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً إِلَّا أَحْصَاهَا. It has not left any little thing, nothing big or small except it's listed in it. That mujrim and those mujrim. May Allah protect us from that. وَرَأَ الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارِ. They're going to see fire. فَظَنُّوا أَنَّهُمْ. Remember I gave you guys this rule. Whenever ظَنَّ is followed by أَنَّ or إِنَّ. Whenever ظَنَّ comes by أَنَّ, what does the meaning of ظَنَّ turn into? يَقِين. ظَنَّ followed by أَنَّ, all the time the meaning turns into يَقِين. Inna will come first. Inna dhunnu. Inna will come first. Or anna will come after. Either cases, if dhanna is followed by that, the meaning turns into yaqeen. Otherwise, wa dhanna alladhina kafaru. Right. That dhanna is conjecture. You know what conjecture means? Most probable. Not 100%, but most probable. But what dhanna turns into followed by anna, then it turns yaqeen. We just read this, right? That when the kitab is going to be given to the person in the right hand, right? What is he going to say? Ha'u muqra'u kitabiya. What's after that? Inni dhanantu anni mulaqin hisab. I had yaqeen that I was going to have my hisab. Okay? Wara'a al-mujrimuna an-nar. And the mujrim are going to see the fire. فَظَنُّوا. They are going to believe. They are going to have this yaqeen. أَنَّهُمْ وَاقِعُوهَا. They are hell-bound. وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. And they are not going to find any exit out of this. Over here, the Mufassirun have described this scene. That the people that are going to be taken to hellfire, يَجِدُونَ صُرَاخَهَا يَسْمَعُونَ صُرَاخَهَا. They're able to hear the sounds of Jahannam بِمَسِيرَةِ أَرْبَعِينَ. They're able to hear the shahiq, the sounds of Jahannam, while they're going to be 40 years of walking distance away from Jahannam. We cannot even imagine this. And the hadith of Prophet ﷺ, that scene is described here, that as people are going to be walking towards Jahannam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Jahannam will be brought وَجِئَ يَوْمَئِذٍ بِجَهَنَّمٍ Jahannam is going to be brought, and it is going to have 70,000 angels holding on to how many reins? 70,000 reins. Each rein is held by 70,000 angels. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَوْ أُطْلِقَتْ If it was allowed to be free, if this Jahannam was not held by the angels, go ahead, you're free to go. If it was allowed to be free, it would not leave barran wala fajiran wala good, evil, every single type of human being, Jahannam will devour. Okay. Ibn Abi Dunya, he has a beautiful kitab. He was a scholar 150 Hijri. 150 to 200 Hijri, around that time. He has a book called Sifatun Nar, the description of hellfire, right? And I remember that was one of the first books that I was able to read when I went for my studies. And it had a profound impact on me at that time, because the description that Allah, Prophet ﷺ has given about Jahannam, no other religion has that descriptive. I wait for the day a Mormon shows up to my, a Jehovah's Witness shows up to my door and they tell me about purgatory. And I'm like, listen, come on, sit down and I'll tell you about purgatory of ours. You're probably going to be, it's like their description is like so lame. It's so lame. If you read the description that we have, because that's the tool they use, right? Jehovah's Witness is like, listen, there's a kingdom of God, and if you don't believe in the kingdom, you're going to purgatory, and that's exactly how they begin, right? That's how they begin. And I remember Sheikh Ahmed Shihab, they came to his door, and he's a da'i, so they came to his door, and he's like, listen, and he's like, okay, now my turn. He's like, oh, we have to go. He's like, no. You don't show up to my house on Sunday and take 45 minutes of mine, and then you expect that you're going to walk away from here, okay? You're going to come in my house, okay? And you're going to sit down. I'm going to give you back for 45 minutes. And if you don't, I will call the police and trespass you right now. You've been trespassing for 45 minutes. And they got so scared. And the sheikh is like, there was a guy, it was his first day. That person, after the sheikh described Jahannam to him, he said, I just went and I picked up Sheikh Umar al-Ashqar's Jannah Jahannam series in English. Do you guys have that? Dr. Umar al-Ashqar, he has like one of the best series on that in English. Right? He has, it's in 8 or 9 volumes. Like there's a book for Jannah, there's a book for Jahannam, there's a book for everything in Akhirah, book for angels, all the Iman, all the things we have to believe in, he has a book for that. So he read that book to him, and the person, after 2 years, he became Muslim. 2 years later, he came back to him and said, that description, no matter how much I went into the Jehovah's Witness, never left me. So if you ever get a chance, I think Sifatun Nar is also translated. You probably can find it online. وَرَأَى الْمُجْرِمُونَ النَّارَ And the mujrim are going to feel nar. And the reason I say you need to know the sifa is because when we come across this word nar, if we have all of those, not all, but if we have a general vision of what this Jahannam and this fire Allah is talking about, then it makes the ayah that much more visceral for us to be able to relate to that. فَظَنُّوا They had this yaqeen annahum waqi'uha. So coming back, Jahannam, they are going to be driven to Jahannam 40 years. And imagine the feeling of that person. And this is what the ayah is talking about. On that day when they are going to see that they are headed towards Jahannam, and it's annahum fadhannu. This is the scene that Allah is saying. Fadhannu, now they have absolute yaqeen annahum waqi'uha, that they are going to be, they are hellbound. They are going to fall into Jahannam. وَلَمْ يَجِدُوا عَنْهَا مَصْرِفًا. And they will find no way to avoid it. No exits that they can take from that highway that's going to take 40 years for them to reach that Jahannam. I don't want to speed up. I'll stop over here, inshallah, because the next ayat are also... And inshallah, next week we'll be able to get into the story of Musa alayhi salam, inshallah, bi-idhnillah. I don't want us to... Because these are all really important ayahs. وَرَبُّكَ الْغَفُورُ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ فَأَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا. These are all very powerful ayat. We can't just skip over them. So I'll pause over here, inshallah. If anybody has questions related to this, please feel free to ask. Yeah, go ahead. Bismillah. Yes. SubhanAllah. So that scene is very painful because there are going to be people that will not be able to walk on that day towards Jahannam. And they'll be walking on their... So they will be forced to walk upside down with their heads like peeking up like that and walking on their hands. There are going to be people that will be like ants and they will be crushed by other people walking. And all of these people are headed in the same direction. And the descriptions about the state of each one of these individuals is just so many descriptions that, you know, a person can't even imagine. And it's really painful. And then some of them are going to refuse, and the angels are going to have whips, and they're going to whip the person, right? هَذِهِ جَهَنَّمُ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ. This is the Jahannam. There, you know, these statements are by the angels. This is the Jahannam that you used to lie. Remember? You didn't believe in that? This is the Jahannam that you were going to, right? But I want to end on a good note that on that day, you're going to have people that are going to be resurrected. And they're going to have like a chariot that is going to be like a, you know, a buggy with a horse going to be waiting for them. And when they're going to come out, they're going to be angels that will be driving those chariots for them. And they will enter, and they'll be whipped through the mahshar very fast underneath the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when they would arrive there, the anbiya alayhim as-salam, the shuhada, the martyrs, the prophets, the siddiqeen, they all are going to be amazed because that treatment was a very unique treatment. Nobody else got that treatment. And they will be taken and placed on manabir of nur, pulpits of light. So the anbiya alayhim as-salam are going to ask, man ha'ula? The angel prophets are going to be like, who are these people? Like, you know, sure, we got a treatment, but this is very unique. They're neither martyrs, they're neither siddiqeen, the truthful ones, the absolute truthful ones. They're not any of this. Who are these people? Man ha'ula? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say, ha'i al-mutahabina fillah. These are the ones who used to love one another for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only thing that joined them and connected them and kept them connected was their love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for one another. And then this person is going to be, so he is going to be there. And while that person is going to be there, he's going to say, Ya Allah, I don't find my friend. He was not given the same treatment, one of his friends. Right? One of his friends would not be given the treatment. So then he is going to go in the mahshar and he is going to find his friend and he is going to say, اذهب لنا موعد تحت عرش الرحمن. Let's go. We have an appointment under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I was looking for you. And then he will be also elevated on the day of judgment on that. So may Allah subhanahu huh? Whoever he is. Again, I have an entire khutbah on that. I collected all the 12 or 13 ahadith that the benefits of loving one another for the khutbah. I'll see if I can find it and I'll post it in there. It's an old khutbah. I think I gave it like 10 years ago or something. It's called Loving One Another for the Sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll see if I can find it and I can post it in the group, inshallah. But that has all these narrations and everything in there, inshallah. Khair. Barakallahu feek. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. I just wanted to ask everybody before you leave. I mean, we first want to thank Brother Asad for giving us the space. But again, unless Asad was born with millionaire parents, which I don't know. I don't think that was the case. Inshallah, they will become millionaires. But until then, he definitely has a millionaire heart, Brother Asad. And I just wanted that, you know, if you guys can support him monthly so that, you know, all of the activities that he's doing, he's not charging us for anything. MashaAllah, he's allowing us to use the space and facility. I think that's the minimum that we can do if any one of us, you know, if you can do one time or if you can do monthly, it's even better. I think you can scan one of those QR codes and do that. That allows him to be able to provide more relevant programming for the entire community, inshallah. May Allah put lots of barakah. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim tasliman kathira. Wa barik Allahumma ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khairu man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khairu man zakkaha anta waliyuha wa mawlaha ya rabbal alamin. Allahumma ighfir lana ya rabb. Allahumma ighfir lana ya rabb. اللهم علمنا بما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما يا كريم. Oh Allah, grant us the ability to understand the Quran and put it in practice. Oh Allah, let this knowledge be a practical knowledge for us. Oh Allah, do not hold this knowledge against us on the day of judgment. Oh Allah, protect us from those people who have knowledge and do not act upon it. Oh Allah, protect us from the attacks of shaitan. Oh Allah, protect us and our families from the attacks of shaitan. O Allah, protect all the Muslims from the attacks of shaitan. O Allah, allow the Quran to be a fortress for us to protect us from the attacks of shaitan. O Allah, give us the ability to understand the words of the Quran so that it illuminates our hearts and we're able to make correct decisions in its light. O Allah, let the Quran be a guide for us in our lives. O Allah, let the Quran be a guide for us in our lives and in everything that we do. O Allah, allow us to recite the Quran and give us the tawfiq to recite the Quran day in and day out. O Allah, let never our hearts be satiated by the recitation of the Quran. And Allah, our hearts are rusted. O Allah, remove the rust from our hearts and allow us to really taste the sweetness of this Quran. O Allah, we are not capable of and we're not able to withstand your hisab. O Allah, enter us into Jannah without any hisab. وَلَا سَابِقَةِ عَذَابِ يَا رَبَّ الْعَالَمِينَ. O Allah, we are your weak servants. O Allah, we try our best to understand your kitab. O Allah, with the barakah of this kitab, allow us to enter Jannah. O Allah, with the barakah of little bit of our efforts, accept our efforts and allow these efforts and to fruition and allow us to enter Jannah. O Allah, we cannot withstand your hisab. O Allah, none of us can withstand your hisab. O Allah, we are weak servants of yours. O Allah, do not hold us accountable. O Allah, we are not capable of being held accountable. O Allah, our books are filled with sins. O Allah, our books are filled with sins that we're not happy with. O Allah, do not hold us accountable. Neither do not expose our sins in this world. O Allah, you have concealed our sins. And let us be from those whose sins are concealed in this dunya, and it will be concealed on the day of judgment. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ وَصَلِّ اللَّهُمَّ تَعَالَى عَلَى خَيْرِ خَلْقِهِ مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ.